I'm Elise. In this program, we're going to talk about genetics. Genetics is the study of genes and how they affect heredity. Okay then, what are genes? Genes are genetic material on a chromosome that determine what traits the organism will have. For example, you have a gene that determined the color of your eyes and another gene that determined the color of your hair. Gregor Mendel developed the theory of how genes work in the late 1800s. He built the foundation for genetic theory by breeding peas in a small garden in Austria. His experiments laid the groundwork for the current developments in the sciences of genetic engineering and biotechnology. Even though he couldn't see them through his microscope, Mendel hypothesized that genes existed and that they were responsible for passing traits from parents to their offspring. Mendel's theory helped explain how the process of natural selection occurs. Not only did Mendel's work explain how plants and animals may have evolved, it gave scientists and farmers the information they needed to develop disease-resistant crops and to breed animals for specific purposes, such as cows that produce more milk. Mendel's work also helped to explain why some diseases run in families. For example, hemophilia, which is the inability of blood to clot, was genetically passed to nearly every royal house in Europe through intermarriage. Each of us have certain traits. A trait is a characteristic such as the color of your eyes, how tall you are, or even how smart you are. You've received a gene for each of your traits from your mother and one from your father. This gave you a pair of genes for each trait, although most traits are controlled by more than one pair of genes. The genes that make up chromosomes are responsible for determining an individual's traits. Each individual has at least one pair of genes for each trait they have, one from their mother, another from their father. The two genes for a trait may be the same or different. If they are the same, the trait is referred to as pure. If they are different, the trait is called hybrid. Alleles are a gene, or a combination of genes, that determine a specific trait. For example, you may have the allele for brown eye color. Some alleles are dominant over others. If a person inherits both the dominant and the recessive alleles from their parents, the dominant allele will be what the offspring has. An example of a trait that is controlled by one gene pair is freckles. If an individual has freckles, they could have inherited the gene for freckles from both parents. In that case, they would be pure for the trait of freckles. If they inherited a gene for freckles from one parent and a gene for non-freckles from the other, they would be hybrid for freckles. But since freckles are a dominant trait and non-freckles are a recessive trait, they would have freckles in spite of having only one non-freckle gene. Only the dominant gene is expressed in hybrid traits. Since non-freckles is a recessive trait, only an individual whose parents both gave them a non-freckle gene would be freckle-free. We can use a diagram called a Punnett square to show how likely it is that the offspring of a particular set of parents will inherit a given trait. We can see how the Punnett square works by looking at a trait like free or attached earlobes. In this Punnett square, we will indicate dominant genes with a capital L and recessive genes with a lowercase l. Each parent has two genes that relate to the free or attached earlobe trait. We indicate the combination of genes that one parent has for free attached earlobes horizontally above the boxes, and the other parent's gene combination is indicated vertically along the side boxes. The offspring will inherit one gene from each parent. The boxes of the Punnett square reflect all the possible combinations of genes the offspring can inherit from the parents. If both parents are pure for the free earlobe trait, then all their offspring will be pure for the free earlobe trait. If one parent is pure for the free earlobe trait, while the other is pure for attached earlobes, all their offspring will have free earlobes, as only the dominant trait expresses itself when a dominant and recessive gene are paired. If both parents are hybrid for the free attached trait, then 3 out of 4 of their offspring will have free earlobes, while every fourth one will have attached earlobes. Today, genetic counselors can advise couples on the likelihood of them passing on a genetic disease to their children. The next frontier in genetics is for geneticists to actually manipulate genes to cure certain diseases, or to create living organisms that have specific desirable characteristics. In order to do that, scientists must be able to work with the basic molecule that makes up genes. That molecule is deoxyribonucleic acid, or DNA for short. The cells of every living thing contain genes made up of DNA. DNA molecules look like long spiral staircases. These molecules are built from 4 different building blocks called nucleotides. They are guanine, cytosine, adenine, and thymine. The DNA in all living organisms is made up of these four building blocks. What differs from organism to organism is the combination of these building blocks and how long the DNA molecules are. The DNA molecule in an average bacteria stores about 1 million bits of information. The DNA in an amoeba stores about 400 million bits. The strands of DNA in a human cell stores 5 trillion bits of information. Cells use this genetic information to make proteins and control other life processes. Every cell in our body contains the same genes. You might wonder, if every cell in an organism contains exactly the same genes, then what's different in the different types of cells? Well, what makes the difference between the specialized cells is which genes are turned on and which are turned off during the life of the cell. For example, our blood cells make the protein hemoglobin, which is used to carry oxygen throughout the body. Every one of the cells in our body contains the DNA information needed to produce hemoglobin. The DNA in a brain cell, for example, has the genetic information needed to make hemoglobin, but the gene to produce hemoglobin isn't turned on, so it doesn't make it. One gene can be made up of hundreds or thousands of pairs of nucleotides. Genes are arranged in the cell's nucleus in coiled and folded strands, called chromosomes. Genes and chromosomes also come in pairs. Cells reproduce by dividing. When a cell divides, the chromosomes split into two identical copies, so that each of the now two cells is exactly the same as the original. Each cell has two identical sets of chromosomes. Since there are two sets, it's called a diploid cell. There are two types of cell division: mitosis, which produces an exact copy of the parent cell, and meiosis, which produces the cells used in sexual reproduction. These cells have all the chromosomes in a normal cell, but only one of each instead of two. The time in a cell's life when mitosis is not occurring is called interphase. During interphase, cells take in nutrients, do their specialized jobs, and grow. When a cell is going to divide, it begins by duplicating its DNA in preparation for mitosis. The chromosomes uncoil so that the cell can read the genetic information they contain. The process of mitosis is divided into four phases: prophase, metaphase, anaphase, and telophase. During prophase, the first stage of mitosis, the chromosomes condense tightly into matching paired strands and the nucleus begins to disappear. The matching paired chromosomes are joined together by a special region called the centromere. The strands of DNA on either side of the centromere are identical to one another and are called chromatids. In the material around the nucleus, called cytoplasm, small fibers called microtubules begin to form at each end of the cell. During metaphase, the second stage of cell division, the microtubules at either end of the cell attach to the chromatids and have a kind of tug-of-war that ends up with the chromatids positioned in the middle of the cell. During anaphase, the third phase of cell division, the centromere divides and the chromatids are pulled to opposite sides of the cell by the microtubules. The individual chromatids are now chromosomes. During the final phase, telophase, the new chromosomes move into their relaxed state and nuclear material forms around them, making two new nuclei. The cytoplasm splits into two equal parts, completing the division of one cell into two. Meiosis is the process of a diploid cell dividing in a way that produces a sex cell that has only one chromosome instead of the two that are in a normal cell. Meiosis occurs only in the specialized cells of the reproductive organs. The cells produced are eggs in the female and sperm in the male. Since they have only one chromosome when they join, the new cell has two. Eggs and sperm are called haploid cells. They have a single chromosome of each type. Regular body cells have two of each chromosome, one from each parent. A regular human cell has 46 chromosomes. Human sperm and eggs have 23. There are two stages to meiosis. In stage one, the diploid cell divides in a special way, producing two haploid cells. In stage two, those two haploid cells divide, making a total of four haploid cells. Each of these stages has four phases. Meiosis starts with the diploid cell. The chromosomes first duplicate themselves. During the first phase of meiosis, prophase one, the chromosomes the individual inherited from their father, called the paternal chromosomes, attach on the nuclear envelope, right next to the equivalent chromosomes they inherited from their mother, called the maternal chromosomes. After they are lined up, Special enzymes snip and cut different genes from both the paternal and maternal chromosomes and swap them between the two chromosomes. After this occurs, the nucleus begins to disappear, and microtubules begin to reach towards the chromosomes from either end of the cell. During metaphase 1, the microtubules move the condensed chromosomes to the center of the cell. The matching maternal and paternal chromosomes that swap some of their genes remain paired together. During anaphase 1, the matching paternal and maternal chromosomes are pulled apart to opposite ends of the cell. During telophase 1, the microtubules disappear and the cell cytoplasm divides. There is usually little or no pause between telophase 1 and the beginning of the meiosis 2 stage. During prophase 2, the microtubules reform and attach to the chromosomes at the centromere. During metaphase 2, the chromosomes are pulled to the center. During anaphase 2, the centromeres holding the sister chromosome strands together split and the strands separate. The microtubules pull each of the sister chromosome strands to opposite ends of the cell. In the final phase, telophase 2, the cytoplasm divides, the chromosomes relax, and nuclei form around them. The result is 4 sex cells, with half the number of chromosomes of the organism's regular cells. Also, as a result of the switching of different genes between the parent chromosome strands, each of the sex cells produced has a different genetic combination than the parent cell. This is why children who have the same parents don't all look the same. In male mammals, the sex cells undergo further changes as they develop a head where the DNA is concentrated, and a tail called a flagella that propels them through the female reproduction tract. When these sex cells are fully developed, they are called sperm. Human males produce millions of sperm continuously. On the other hand, human females usually produce only one egg a month. If a sperm and egg cell unite, the DNA contained in the two cells will produce an individual with some traits like its father and some like its mother. Throughout history, changes have occurred in the genes of some organisms, producing an organism with new traits. A change in the DNA of a gene is called a mutation. Very few mutations are beneficial to the species, while most have a negative impact. If a mutation enhances an individual's ability to survive, the mutation and the trait that accompanies it is usually passed on to succeeding generations. The opposite is true of negative mutations. In fact, if a mutation has too negative an impact on an organism's ability to compete, that individual may never reproduce, and the mutation and the accompanying trait will die with the individual. Today, scientists are working on ways to change the outcome of combining two sets of genes by altering the genetic material in them. This is called genetic engineering. Modern genetic engineering allows scientists to manipulate the genes of an organism and create their own mutation. Geneticists have developed a mutation in a species of bacteria that allows bacteria to help minimize frost damage to crops, like strawberries and grapes. Another use of genetic engineering has been to develop crops that are more resistant to herbicides. This means that higher concentrations of herbicides can be sprayed on the plants to kill weeds that might be competing with them. Some scientists are concerned about the possible unintended effects of such genetic engineering. For example, frost is one of nature's major ways of controlling plant populations. What if the anti-ice bacteria genetic engineers have developed spread throughout nature and all plants became resistant to frost? Or what if the herbicide-resistant gene were transferred to various types of weeds? Farmers might be left with no protection against weeds at all. One of the biggest impacts of genetic engineering in the future will be in medicine. It is easy to imagine that scientists may be able to correct the genes responsible for genetic diseases like cystic fibrosis and sickle cell anemia. As scientists learn how to manage genes, questions come up that we have to answer in moral terms rather than scientific terms. For example, most anyone would agree that it would be good to cure a disease like muscular dystrophy with genetic engineering. But what about changing other traits, like skin color or intelligence and strength? Genetics is an exciting field that is going to have a tremendous impact on our lives. Even now, it is beginning to raise difficult questions that will have to be dealt with by us all.